Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome to the clubhouse. It is a beautiful Saturday. Well, it's kind of rainy. It's beautiful. It's windy. Is it windy everywhere? At the Honda, they can't even play in the wind. Well, they are, but the scores are really high. Isn't that great? It's like having another major. So we've got a great show for you this morning. In the meantime, as you are dealing with power outages, and it's not just Eva Beach. There are people around Oahu with HECO on strike, the unionized workers. We're supposed to be patient, waiting for our power to come back on. In the meantime, I have friends who are desperately cooking up whatever food they have in their refrigerator because they've had no power since 3 o'clock yesterday morning. And now the pork chops are rotting, etc. So they're trying to get everything all taken care of. And that's just one of the things we're dealing with in the lovely Hawaiian Islands, where it's going to be a little rainy, a little sunny, but a great day to go out and play a round of golf. So if you would like to, we've got our tee time available at Volcano. It's 50 degrees, Volcano on the Big Island. There's a 10:30, an 11 o'clock, an 11:30. Makalei, Kalepahui, and Club 71. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. If you'd like to play, there's a 108. Makalei is upcountry. It's really nice. We've also got a tee time for you at Ko'olina, 12:30. And the Players Club is going out there. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Luana Hills, a lovely place. It's kind of like Jurassic Park. It's the front nine, the back nine, and it's lovely. They're completely different. It's like totally two different places. But you'll enjoy yourself. Just don't worry about how many balls you lose. Go get some, you know, ones at the bottom of the bag. And have a good time. That's the most important thing. There's an 8:30, a 9:36, and a 10:40. And Makena on the beautiful Valley Isle. That's Maui. There's a 9:44, a 10:48, and an 11:36. Joining us this morning, Danny Orr, creator of Sea of Golf. Andrew Chandler, also known as Chubby Chandler, International Sports Management. Matt Adams, author, PGA Tour radio announcer, commentator, great guy, will be joining us as well. And Mike Perkey, the deputy editor at Global Golf Post. I have talked about his pre-shot routine I don't know how many times. I get to actually tell him what an inspiration he has been for so many of you on the show. The people who make this program possible include Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design, fabrication, excellent service. These people, they know what they are doing. You can count on their expert knowledge, their work, and their product. That's Alakai Mechanical. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended, insurance approved. They achieve results at Moon Physical Therapy. You got hurt. You know, you're playing baseball. You get hurt your shoulder. You hurt your knee running. Moon Physical Therapy, they've got this endless pool. It's beautiful. And you can work in it, and it doesn't hurt your joints. Yeah. Moon Physical Therapy. Go see Julie Moon. Poipu Bay Golf Course. For the special values and the special packages for Kama'aina and visitor alike, call 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And it's open now after an 8-month greens replacement. Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property, whether you need protection or you'd like to join the Star Team. Star Protection is what you need on your property or at your event. All right, let's welcome our first guest. Danny Orr, former professional baseball player, major league scout, and developer of See It Golf, an iPad, iPhone, iTouch application that will, as Stan Utley put it, hopefully get the ball in the hole in fewer strokes. And isn't that what we all want? Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
I wonder when you call me Danny. I'm going to be on Danny's show tomorrow. That's so cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is my third appearance on your show, and I figure on the fifth, you need to change it to the Danny and Danny show.
Now, that would be fun. You know, we've talked about your application as it was in development and as it became reality, and that's always exciting for me, to to see things come to fruition as I discuss it with the developer. I mean, it's fabulous. It's like being part of the creative process. So, but you have now, it's taken it, you know, to iPad. It's beautiful. I was watching. I was mesmerized by it this morning. There are no words. There's only this beautiful music and visuals. But before we get to that, there's this new research study that ASU found that this app can improve putting performance by 61%, all without one spoken or written word.
That's what they found, and we were delighted, to say the least.
Oh, I can imagine, but what did they do? Can you tell us a bit about the study?
Sure. Dr. Debbie Cruz did the formal research study at ASU, and Dr. Cruz gained notoriety for her study on choking, became Golf Magazine's Researcher of the Year for that study. It was tested and confirmed on NBC's Dateline. On top of that, she's a Golf Digest Top 10 instructor and just an incredible person and researcher. And she took our app and did a study at ASU with three groups. And whenever they do a formal research study, they have a control group. And the control group would do a series of 10 putts, take a break, and then do a post-test of another 10 putts. And the second group would do their pre-test and then receive standard instruction during the break with demonstration, verbal cues. I'm not going to say that who gave the instruction, but it is a future Hall of Famer in this format. And, and then did a post-test. Our third group did the pre-test, watched 3 minutes of our DVD without any written or spoken words, no formal instruction at all, just watching Aaron Baddeley think putt after putt. And then they did a post-test. Well, after 6 weeks, the control group improved 16%. The second group, standard instruction, 19%. And the See It Golf group improved 61%.
Wow. that's huge. I mean, what a confirmation.
And yeah, we were thrilled.
It tells you a lot about what the mind, if you just give it information, seeing and feeling. And what does Stan Lutley say? Stan Lutley says that he's a feel player, right?
Yes.
And how did he get involved?
Well, I approached three people initially. I went to Dr. David Cook, who coined the phrase, see it, feel it, trust it. Worked with over 100 PGA Tour pros, won 2 rings with the San Antonio Spurs as their mental coach as well. And he came up with see it, feel it, trust it. If we see what we want to the point of getting a feel for it and then trusting that and not thinking, then we'll have success. Well, after meeting with Dr. David Cook, and he said, yes, you can use See It, Feel It, Trust It. He advised us on the project. Our name, See It Golf, is from that philosophy as well. I went to Stan Utley, and I sat with Stan in his kitchen, and we talked about the project, and he loved it. Because he is a field player. And his win on the PGA Tour, the Chattanooga Classic, he told me a story where on Sunday, every shot he took, he went through the routine of see it, feel it, trust it. He actually thought about it and put that theory into practice before every shot that Sunday on all 18 holes. So he was really into it. And then after David, after Stan, we met with Aaron Baddeley, who became the subject of our film. And but Stan lived it, and he teaches it. And really, the goal in this whole project is not psychology, is not to tell people how to putt or how to think. It's just to expose their mind and their brain to 100% success, to where they can feel the ball going in the hole.
Exactly. Okay, you talk about 100% success, and that is perfect because in this, all right, I'm going to really summarize this quickly. The first image that you see is that of a golf ball with a red line that leads you directly to the cup. Then the cameras track back to the other side of the hole, kind of like if you'd walk around to look at it from the other side. The ball is then struck, but you don't really hear it struck, and you see the image of the ball going into the hole. The next image, you actually hear the ball strike, and it goes into the hole. Then the images are of the ball being put repeatedly from different camera angles, close, further away, from ground level, always successfully going into the cup. Is that part of the strategy of seeing success repeatedly?
Absolutely. There's a thing called neuroplasticity, where neurological pathways can be changed at any age, and the way they're changed is by repetition and emotional impact. So if you can see the ball go in the hole time after time after time, the brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and imagined, and new neurological pathways can be formed to where you actually believe you're going to put the ball in the hole because you've seen it happen so many times. And we believe our study reveals that actually works. We're changing the belief of the golfer.
Yes, and that's the most important thing, is that you believe that you can be successful, that you have confidence in what you're doing. Without that, you just stumble and fall and trip all over yourself.
And we think too much. I mean, go ahead.
We think too much. Go for it.
Yes. You and I have been discussing this for a while in our third time, and I love being on your show. But we've used so many words to describe it. When the film, which has proven to improve potting significantly, uses no words. I mean, it tells us that we can bypass all this stuff just by trusting that we can be successful on the golf course.
We're going to take a break and be right back with Danny Orr, See It Golf. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay and Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool. Here is your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Here's a shoulder and back exercise. Grip your club horizontally in front of you, chest high, with your hands a little wider than your body. Keep your eyes fixed on the club as you raise your arms directly over your head. Remember to take in a deep breath and stretch gently. Repeat this exercise 5 times. This will help loosen your back muscles and increase your range of motion.
And that was your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We're talking with Danny Orr. He is the creator of See It Golf. It's for the iPad, the iPhone, the iTouch, an application that, as Stan Utley put it, hopefully gets the ball in the hole in fewer strokes. And this ASU study showed that, 61% of those in the study actually improved their putting, all without a spoken or written word. So if we could just spend the next 10 minutes not saying anything, we could probably demonstrate it really well. Unfortunately, I don't have the video capability of of transmitting this. Music is great. And it was shot with special cameras, right?
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't transfer very well on radio, does it?
We have to talk.
we hired an Emmy Award-winning composer to do a score. And, when I talked to some researchers, they said, music always benefits different studies. Whenever we add music, things get better. So we wanted to have something that wasn't a distraction, but was unique to the project. So we have the store, but within the app, we're also able to add our own soundtrack. So if there's a song, I talked to a girl who plays golf on the ASU golf team, and before every tournament, she liked to listen to a certain song.
We are and champions.
It was something like Sexy Chick.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the song. It's probably a big hit, but that was her song. So she can watch Aaron Baddeley sink putt after putt while listening to her pregame song.
Cool.
And then when she hears it by itself, without the image, her mind will recall those images of putt straining, which is the idea behind it.
Well, it's also interesting what you say about music, though, because music triggers things in the mind, deep inside the mind, and that makes us much more productive. Studies are being done all the time about the effect music has on children and their learning process, et cetera, et cetera. So the music is key with the visuals, I think, and getting the mind to just look at success and hear this, it reinforces positive emotions. It makes all kinds of serotonin and just a happy camper when you get out there.
Well, no. When we talked about repetition and emotional impact to build these neurological pathways, music feeds that emotional impact.
There you go. Yes, yes. Aaron Baddeley. So he won this year, the Northern Trust Open. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. It was a struggle for him, though, for a while. He, you know, and it tested his fortitude, his commitment, and as it does all of us. Now, I was looking at, his father, I think, said that Bads went from his swing that he had developed with from junior golf time, then he tried the stack and tilt thing, and then he went back to his original kind of a combination of the two, I think is what Dad said, that's kind of what's working for him as his full swing. His putting average is 29.17, which is just below 29.23, which is a tour average. Has he said anything about his putting with Sea at Golf?
Well, statistically, he's usually in the top 10 in putting performance. He had one tournament this year where he couldn't putt well, and he just said that part of my game didn't show up. So that really threw the figures off.
Ah.
The thing about his putting routine is it hasn't changed since he was a junior golfer. In the exact same routine and stroke. He's never altered his putting stroke when he went through different swing coaches. That's been the one constant in his game, has been his putting routine and his stroke.
And I think what's important to point out here is that you're not actually selling a particular stroke. When I say that selling, I mean that like you're not saying this is the way to do your putting. What you're saying is this is the way to tell your mind that you're going to be successful when you putt.
It's an added benefit to have Aaron's stroke, which, you know, is arguably one of the smoothest on tour. It's great. And it's a bonus there. But not, you know, we're not telling you how to swing or how to putt like Aaron at all. We don't talk about it. He doesn't talk about it. We don't write about it. You do see it because it is so smooth and effective. And I know when I was watching the Northern Trust Open, Aaron, because he was winning, got a lot of TV time, and a lot of talk and attention was drawn to his putting stroke. And in the app, in the film, you're able to go through his exact pregame putting routine through reading the putt from behind the ball and the cup, standing over the ball, seeing it roll on the line one time, because Aaron always looks only one time, goes back down and hits the putt in. So it is his routine, but we don't talk about it and just allow the mind to see what it's like to make the putt every time.
To make the putt. Yeah, it takes you through things that you ought to be doing. That's the first thing I thought is, I'm looking at from where I stand going toward the cup, and then I'm going to go around on the other side of the pin, and I'm going to look at the other side because that's a good idea. It's always good to get a couple of angles. Now, how did Dr. Debbie Cruz, one of Golf Digest's top 10 instructors and a leading researcher, recognized by Golf Magazine for her work? How was she involved?
I just gave her a call. I became familiar with her work after we created the film. And I called her, met her at Karsten Golf Course at ASU, and said, hey, will you take a look at this? Because we're really interested in doing research on it. You know, we believe it will work. We don't really know how it works. And we'd love to do a study. So she did her first study with the DVD on synchrony, on measuring with EEG how the brain functions before and after watching the film. And she found it to balance both hemispheres of the brain. You can find this research study on our website, seeitgolf.com. It's called Synchrony. And when they talk about the zone, the left and right hemispheres are working together. When a golfer chokes, the left or thinking side of the brain activates more. And what she found is that it balanced the brain. Then after that, she said, we were sitting in a Starbucks going over our research, and she'd done a few seminars since then with us. And she said, let's really test and see how it affects performance. So I said, sure, what can I do? And she said, nothing. You're not allowed to show up. You're not allowed to interact with the subject. I'm going to take it from here. And she's, and that's what one thing that I love about her is she's just a committed researcher. 100% truth is what she's after. And in that, I felt that sink or swim, we're going to have a valid study.
Well, it's interesting because her whole work has been about the neurological study on choking while putting. You know, we don't like to use the word, you know, that word, but choking while putting is a problem for a lot of people. And I've talked to a lot of people at the Mayo Clinic who've done research on what causes choking while putting. It's almost like when you're a surgeon and all of a sudden you can't cut anymore. I mean, that's, like, terrifying. And it's a huge, big part of helping people get through that. So it's interesting to see that her research revealed this optimal performance state when the balancing of the brains, the synchronicity between the brains, the creative, the visual, the target-oriented right side gets in gear with the left side, that logical, verbal, mechanical side. And to see, it must have been wonderful for her to see that actually happening. You can see all of this at seeitgolf.com. We're going to take a break and tell you how to get your own copy. And it's on iPad, iTouch, and iPhone. Is there maybe, I'm going to just put this out there, I don't want an answer yet, just think about it. Is there going to be a way for people to experience it in another way if they don't have those particular products? We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We're talking with Danny Orr, a creator of See It Golf. Tell me something. What inspired you to create this?
Wow. Well, I can trace it back to high school. When I was in my senior year of high school in a psychology class, I did a report on visualization in sports. There was a book called Don't Choke that came out, and I did the report on that. I was a baseball player, and then in college and in professional baseball, I had several unfortunate outings where I learned firsthand what choking was all about. And when I choked, it was clear to me that I was thinking too much or trying too hard. And so I became a student of it. I really wanted to know what could put my mind in a place where I was aggressive, not passive, aggressive, but also with a clear head, where I could give my best performance without thinking too much.
Yeah.
And that's it's a balancing act. It's difficult to do, but I sort of figured when I was able to see where I wanted the ball to go, I did a much better job, both on the mound and when I played golf. But while, that was really the impetus behind it, my own struggle with choking while pitching.
Let me ask you a question. When you choke, when you're pitching and choke, I can think, what happens at that moment? I'm just curious. I love baseball. You know, first base is my position.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I gave a lot of free trips to first base. I watched a few guys in my time.
I used to play catch with a AAA ball player. That was like the most fun. I just had a blast. So I was just curious, as a pitcher, you're standing on the mound. How do you, to me it seems like you would just, once you wound up and let go, where's the choking?
The choking is, it's a lot like golf. It's a sport.
I think I'm going to have to interrupt you really quick. And the reason I don't want you, can you stay with us?
Yeah.
Okay, the reason is because this very important person has just joined us. And I can hear him loud and clear.
Hey, Tom?
Yes.
Said anything yet?
Yes, I can hear you. This would be Chubby Chandler, Managing Director of ISM, International Sports Management. It's Hawaii time. It's morning. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Excellent. It's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear yours, too. I'm going to try and go somewhere a bit quieter because this is full of people, I'm afraid. talk to me on the go, don't worry.
Talk to you on the go, okay. I bet you do a lot of that, talking on the go. Walk with me, talk with me.
I'm wandering through the tented village now at the Honda.
How's the wind?
Wind's stronger today than it's been all week.
Oh, no. I thought it was going to calm down a bit.
No, it's pretty brutal today. It's probably 30 miles an hour in gusts.
Oh, okay. Now, just to give a little background, international sports management is huge. It's huge. Lee Westwood.
It's not that big, but we're good.
It's huge. Rory McIlroy. Christina Kim. She's one of my favorite. Yeah, she joined you. How did you get Christina?
I'm about to meet her.
You're about to meet her?
I've never met her yet.
Oh, well, say hello for me, will you? She's been on the show before. She's great. She has so much fun.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. The other guys have met her, but I only got in last night, so I've met her.
Yeah, well, I think you'll enjoy her. Now, I got to ask you something, and it has to do with, you know, all the controversy. Controversy? How does one say that in England?
Controversy.
Yeah, controversy. Thank you. Over, you know, the European players playing on the PGA Tour and the numbers of, how many times they get to play versus... To me, you must be like just happier than ever. The European Tour players are doing so well, dominating. I mean, I'm reading articles where it says the end of the PGA Tour as we know it has come, and the Europeans are taking over.
I don't think Europeans are taking over. I think it's more a case of the world golf getting better. And at the end of the day, it was Tim Fincham's idea to spread golf around the world, you know, and Asia and whatever, and that's what's happened. And I think what you're seeing is a result of the rest of the world being better because they're competing over here a bit more and managing to sort of play at the highest level.
Exactly.
I don't think it's any big negative for the PGA Tour. I think there needs to be a bit of readjustment. I think, you know, they need to understand that all the best players now aren't American. But I don't think that's a big issue. I think they'll come to terms with it and probably turn it into a positive.
I hope so, because it seems to me, I mean, the PGA Tour needs to be strong. You need to have healthy tours on both sides of the pond for everything to be happy. I mean, I'm sitting in the middle of what may be arguably one of the most global golf places in the world, where East has met West for some 20 years when the founder of the Honda motor company decided he was going to put on an event here in Hawaii at the Pearl Country Club that he started, called the Hawaii Pearl Open, and brought a bunch of West Coast guys from California, et cetera, and Arizona, and guys from Japan and Korea and across on the other side of the Pacific Ocean, and they compete every year. And this global golf has been a big, you know, big part of what we want, what we in Hawaii have wanted. And now here, you know, the tour embraced it, and the USGA embraced it, and they got it into the Olympics. And then it seemed to me like all of a sudden people were saying, well, now it's no good because the Europeans are so dominant, and if they don't want to play, fine, that leaves room for the Americans. To me, what about a global tour?
Yeah, but it is a global tour now. The thing is that players can play all over the world. You know, there's a World Golf Championship in China. The President's Cup's in Australia this year. There's a PGA Tour event in Malaysia. You know, there's plenty going on. I think one of the things that young Americans probably have to realise is that they've got to travel a bit more to broaden their experience and possibly to play the odd event in Europe and play the odd event in Asia, so they become global players like the rest of them. Because I think that's the big advantage that Europeans have got. They travel so well.
Is that because in Europe there are so many different countries and you have to go from one place to another?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know how many countries we play, but about 31, I think it is. And, you know, we play right through the Middle East. In fact, they just missed the uprising in Bahrain by 2 weeks.
I know.
And, you know, then they play sort of a batch straight after the Masters. They play Malaysia, China, and Korea. So, you know, the guys get well-traveled, and they get used to many different cultures. And, of course, on the European Tour, there are many different cultures.
Uh-huh.
And those cultures all carry on the same way. They don't change to one culture. They all do their own thing. And it breeds a big camaraderie. I think the European Tour, because of its cosmopolitanness in both venues and people, becomes a very interesting place for guys to go out and play.
I just love some of the things you guys put on. I mean, European tour players. The lock when you guys were bouncing or skipping the ball to hit the gong in the middle of the lock. That was, and then skeet shooting in the desert, trying to hit the that was wonderful.
They were pretty cool, weren't they? That was our answer to these guys are good, the PGA Tours thing. So, you know, I mean, a lot of the things that Europe does, doing it because America did it first. So, you know, it's a mishmash of everything come together, but here at Honda, you know, you have a look at the top players, and most of them are not American this week. Because I don't know why it falls like that. That this tournament attracts all the international players and very few of the American players. I don't know how many Americans in the top 50 in the world are here, but not many. I know Ricky's here, or was. I don't know whether he's made the cut even.
No,
but Ricky's here. Who else is in the top 50? I don't know, but yet. Yeah, there's probably about 8 to 9 Europeans or international players in the top 50, maybe more.
Exactly. Well, it to me, it doesn't matter. It's great golf. That's the way I look at it.
And the fans just as much want to watch Rory McIlroy play golf as they do another American. You know, golf fans appreciate exciting golf and good golf, and especially this week in the wind. You have to be fairly skilled to get around this golf course.
Now, your man, Lee Westwood, toppled from the number one position by Martin Kamer, probably wasn't shaking in his boots over that, right? I mean, he seems a really laid-back sort of personality.
Yeah, well, I don't think he'd show anything, whether he was upset by it or motivated by it or not motivated by it. But, you know, he's got a little goal. He wants to be the best he can be on the Thursday of the Masters, and these are all steps towards that way. And, you know, the first 2 days here, he's played very, very well. So his game's coming. I think he'd like, and I'd like him to be in contention so that he gets a bit of practice at being nervous and under the gun. But I'd say he's pretty much on course to get into Augusta in great shape.
Okay, well, he's tied for 8th right now with a 70 and a 69. And if he finishes 3rd, doesn't he go back up into the number one position in the world?
Yeah, that's right. And I think the fact that the number one in the world can be shared around a bit at the moment makes golf a bit more interesting too, because Tiger was so dominant that the number one in the world was a lot for him, and nobody, you know, playing for number two is not quite the same, is it?
No. Well, how about Carl Schwartzel? Isn't he in your stable too?
Yeah, funnily enough, yeah, that's another lucky one we got.
Another lucky one. You guys work hard. Now, the question that a lot of people come up with is, okay, you say we need to travel more. How do you guys afford to do it? How do you afford to travel as much as you do?
How do you mean afford financially?
Yes, afford financially, because so many of our young players here in the States have a hard enough time just getting from, you know, across country.
No, but there's not. You know, if you have a look on the Asian Tour, you'd see a few USAs behind names. It's a will to do it, and it's a will to get away from just growing up on the nationwide tour and doing what everybody else does. You know, you've got to be able to do that. And I think there's going to be a breed of USA players that do that. I think that's going to be where you see a change.
Yes. Well, we have high school kids that go from here in Hawaii to play on the Asian Tour, the Japan Tour. Dean Wilson made it to the PGA Tour after being on the Japan Tour. So we understand what you're talking about. It's just it can be expensive, but you have to have the will to drive. The Olympics.
Yep.
What are you thinking about the Olympics?
I think it's great. I absolutely think it's fantastic. It's an interesting one because 2 or 3 years ago we have it at the time when it was maybe not. We had a lot of discussions between myself, Ernie Else, Lee Westwood, Darren Clark, about sort of what impact, and at the time certainly Lee and Darren were very much, well, you know, it should be for amateurs and it should be this, should be that. But as it's got closer and then they've got in and they've realised the magnitude of it, I think everybody's massively behind it.
Yes.
And they realise it's a massive honour to be a part of it and also to be able to grow the game.
Yeah, to grow the game. Everybody gets involved in the Olympics. You want to have your team there. I mean, the Bermuda guys had a bobsled team for the Winter Olympics. Did you have any interaction with Frank Trikinian, who passed away?
I didn't, no.
No, okay. Well, I'll have to just read something that I got from Golf Digest. Ron Cyrak tweeted this yesterday. He was interviewed at the age of 77, in Bel Air, and he said, one day, long after I'm dead, you're going to see sports live in 3D. A series of high-definition screens will surround you, and two great players will be on your left and right at the Masters, and you'll hear every word they're saying. You'll see the flight of the ball as they see it, and it will be so real your instinct will be to walk forward and pick up their divot. Put this prediction in a time capsule and open it in 50 years. You'll see that I'm right.
He won't be far away either. he won't be far away. I mean, you know, sort of, as TV and things like that get better, then that, you know, it's gonna make the game much more interesting. But the game's gonna have to move with it.
You talk about that when you talk about rules. The game's gonna have to move with it. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're gonna have to everything in golf's going to have to move with the times. You know, we dish up pretty much the same product every week, 72-hole match play, and there's got to be some variation to it, else people in the end will get tired of it. So, you know, golf's got to move with it, and if it's miking up the players, if it's miking up the caddies, if it's 3D, well, I've already got a 3D TV, so I've been golfing 3D, but you know, it's all that. That's all going to come with it.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. God, it's good talking to you. Can we do this again sometime?
Probably.
Well, if you had a good time, maybe you'll come back then. Okay. Chubby Tipper, thanks so much for being on the show.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. We'll be back
after
this. Aloha.
Bye.
My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Here is your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Here's a shoulder and back exercise. Grip your club horizontally in front of you, chest high, with your hands a little wider than your body. Keep your eyes fixed on the club as you raise your arms directly over your head. Remember to take in a deep breath and stretch gently. Repeat this exercise 5 times. This will help loosen your back muscles and increase your range of motion.
And that was your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. Danny Orr, are you still there? Oh, Danny left us? Oh, what a shame, because I wanted to know how they choke in baseball. Oh, give him a call. We've still got to find... I want to know the answer to that question. Please. Yeah, I've got my phone for you. Please give him a call. Thank you so much. Joining us now, author. Boy, you've written a lot of books. Fairways of Life is the name of his show on PGA Tour Radio. It's on what we don't get over here, Sirius XM. But we get to listen if you go to PGA Tour or go to fairwaysoflife.com and you'll find a link straight to Matt Adams' show while he's on. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Excellent. You know, I realized when I was looking at all your books, you've been on the show before.
Yes, I have, but I have had the honor and had the fun to be on the show with you out there in Hawaii. Sorry you guys can't pick us up via satellite, but you are correct. You can get it through the internet at fairwaysoflife.com and get a chance to listen to our programming there.
Yes, it's very early in the morning. It's like 3 or 4 o'clock, just about the time I have to go to work.
You're what, 6? Are you 3 hours behind California?
Two now. And then when it shifts to daylight savings, which we don't observe, then it becomes 3 hours to California and 6.
Well, then you'll hear the re-air at 7 a.m. your time.
7 a.m. my time. You redo
yeah.
it again. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
You have great guests, and you do a very good job. I just wanted to talk to you about, first of all, your new book that's coming out. Fairways of Life Golf, Wisdom of the Legends.
Basically, that book, the concept behind that book came from radio talk shows just like you and I are doing now, where you have an opportunity to have people on your program that are a person that in some way helped etch a page of the history of the game. And I have found, and I'd be curious if you agree, that when you have people of that stature, every time you talk to them, there's something in their words wherein there is this pearl of wisdom. There's some insight into how and why they were able to succeed. And I've always been of the belief that if you listen to successful people and you follow their advice just like you would a recipe in a recipe book, then you can create your own dish, your own version of success, even if it might be slightly different than theirs. And that's the concept of it. I use their words in many of the quotes that I've used in the book actually come right from the interviews that I did with them through the medium of radio, which is a medium that you and I both share and love, and that was the basis of how that book was put together.
That's what I want to do one day. I want to go through all 13 years so far. There are tips for this game that have been said on this show that are so different. Some of them have to do with putting, some of them have to do with, you know, the pre-shot routine, whatever it is. But they're all little gems said in such a way that would strike a chord in an individual. Maybe one person would get it and another tip along the same line to accomplish the same purpose is said in another way. But everyone has their own way of hearing things, feeling it, talking them, and getting them. When Chubby Chandler was just on and he said, you have to have the will to succeed. If you're going to go around the world, how can you afford to do that, sir? I mean, it's very difficult. It's expensive. Well, you have to have the will.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's an important component to success, I believe, that was illustrated in that book, too. It's called Fairways of Life, Golf Wisdom of the Legends. And it is the fact that to be successful in any field, on the golf course or off, there is this element of sacrifice that must be made. There's very much an element of commitment and hard work. And what happens, I believe, in our world, and this is coming from an author's perspective, if you'd grant me such an indulgence, is
absolutely.
That people tend to look at successful people and they only see the end result. They see the celebrities, they see the money, they see the trappings of luxury, etc., the jet planes, whatever it is, but they don't see the work and the sacrifice that has gone into that prior to. And those are some of the things that I like to illustrate. The fact that you need discipline, you need self-control, you need to have a plan. And many people don't choose to live their life that way. That's okay. But as such, when you see a successful person, more often than not, behind them has been this pathway and this commitment and very much the work ethic that goes along with becoming the success that they are. And I try to celebrate that a little bit because, as you were noting, when you're talking about tips and how they can help people's game in terms of how they approach the game and how they play the game, et cetera, I think there's so much about the sport, there's so much about golf that extends beyond the field in which it is competed. In fact, I think it's more so a reflection of life than any other sport that one can engage in, and that's an element of the book as well.
Well, that's what it's wonderful about doing a golf show, is that you can talk about the golf, and you can talk with someone about what they're doing in golf, but then things happen, how it works in life, how what you're doing, you're putting yourself completely into your work and into your book, and how that translates into other aspects or facets of your life and the success that comes through there. So
absolutely.
You put that same kind of work ethic in place in golf and in life, and you see you get the fruits from that. So when you started with Chicken Soup for the Soul, did you expect it to be so successful?
No, I don't believe that I did expect it to be so successful. And the reason why was that the first book that ended up becoming published, it's so funny when you talk about people's careers, more often than not, where they ended up was not exactly where they expected their path to take them. But the first Chicken Soup for the Soul book that I was working on authoring was about NASCAR. And we were working on it in earnest when the terrorist attacks took place in September, of course, of 2001. And we decided on the weekend following those attacks that we were going to do a book called Soul of America, which was to benefit the New York Area Relief Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it out extremely quickly, and it was intended to celebrate all the heroic acts that took place during and the immediate aftermath of those attacks, because so much was already being said and chronicled about the horrific acts that had taken place, the evil acts, if you would. And so we wanted to celebrate the complete opposite, the beauty of humanity, as I call it, the flowers that grow up through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that book became a massive global success. And we had hoped that it would be successful, but none of us had dreamed that it would become that much of a bestseller that fast, New York Times bestseller that fast, and it did. And that was a shock, and then it kind of swept up everything else in it, because from a literary standpoint, you know, becoming a New York Times best-selling author is like winning in golf a major. And so as a result, it opens up a lot of doors. It gives you a moniker that stays with you for the rest of your career. And so subsequently, when the NASCAR book was completed and it came out, that too became a New York Times bestseller, and we kind of went on a wild ride. And it was in those early years of this past decade where I decided, you know what, I'm going to shift from the manufacturing side of the business back into the golf course management side of the business and augment that with a lot more media work. And that's when I hooked up with the PGA Tour Network, and I really ratcheted up my work with the Golf Channel. And it was, you know, it just gave me a forum and an opportunity to say, instead of chasing after the career that I think I'm supposed to chase, I'm going to chase after the life that I really want. And that's pretty much what I did. And so far, knock on wood, it's worked out.
But it started off as something completely different than what it's ended up to be.
And that's
your point. But you committed yourself to doing one thing, and it evolved. So we don't know what doors are going to open up as you continue your path, whatever that is. And when I say your path to success, I mean that in the sense of not riches and fame and fortune. I mean that in the sense of evolving as a successful individual personally.
You know, I think the really important message, particularly for young people that are listening to this, in my humble opinion, is that do not ever take a position because of the money. If you, in my opinion, using that as my guiding force in my life, and I've been in golf now for almost 30 years, I have found that ultimately it always leads you to a better place, because I'll get emails, Daniel, every single day from listeners or wherever they get in touch with me from, people that read a book or what have you, and they say, you know, I want to get into golf, I want to work in golf, but they're shackled by the fact that, you know, maybe they've been, and this is no slight on attorneys, but many times I get them from guys that are involved in attorneys or real estate, and they say, I've been an attorney for 20 years or 30 years, and I've got kids in college, so I have to earn a certain income level, I have to do this, I have to do that, so they become stuck in the position that they're in, and all they do is count the days until retirement. And I think to myself, what a horrific way to go through life, instead of hopping out of bed every morning and, you know, really being excited about the day that is before you, you hop out of bed and you cross a day off a calendar. It's one day closer to the day that you're retired. And I hear people talk about retirement, and I think, retire to what? I'm already involved in a game of golf. I'm already doing what I'd wanted to if I retired.
Exactly.
So, it don't chase the dollar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and some people find themselves trapped. I was talking with a good friend who said, you know, it's interesting, after you get the kids through college, then all of a sudden you have all this disposable income. I get to spend it on myself. I get to go do things. I get to do what I want to do. So, you know, there's no downside for people who are actually trying to get their kids all taken care of. And yes, there's a need to continue that life. I know it's easy for us to sit here and talk about what you should be doing, but there are times when you just have to do what's your obligations are.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken soup for the woman golfer's soul. Now, you're a man. What are you doing? How did you do this?
Well, actually, for the chicken soup books, quite often with those books, what I had to do was go out and write the story of someone else. And what I mean by that is, and it happened with the NASCAR book too, where you're working with these drivers or you're working with these golfers, and they're extremely busy people. They have very compelling stories, and they're more than happy to give you the story and say, this is what happened to me, or this is how I did it, but they're not necessarily writers. And so in that instance, I would write the story for them and send it back to them and say, what do you think about this? Does this accurately reflect what you said and your emotions?
Yes.
And then they would make any edits if they wanted to, and then we would go ahead and put the story in the book under their name.
A compilation.
Yes, legitimately their story, but mm-hmm. from a writer's standpoint, it still requires a tremendous amount of writing. And I run into that a lot, where people say, well, wait a minute, how are you an author of a book that has stories from all these different people? And that's really how it works. I end up writing about 80% of the book, you know, through my pen or my computer, but the stories belong to other people.
But they're beautiful. I mean, the fact that you can write it for someone who probably can't, and they must come back saying, wow, that's exactly what I was feeling. Thank you so much.
The hard part is you have to write it in, you want to make sure you're trying to use their vernacular, you're trying to accurately reflect what their emotions were based on what they told you, given the situation. So therein lies the challenge. But also that's where the fun is as well. I remember when I did the first Fairways of Life book, which was called Wisdom and Inspiration from the Greatest Game in 2006, Arnold Palmer did the foreword for me.
I was just looking at the book, yes.
Yeah, and I had to work with Mr. Palmer to write that foreword, and at times I had to sit back and shake my head and say, this is so wild to be in essence, co-writing a paragraph or a sentence, or in this case, a foreword, with one of the greatest players the game has ever known. It really kind of, it blows you away, and it's very humbling, and it's very cool at the same time to think that you have an opportunity to work with people or to capture forever in a printed form the stories of these people that literally helped shape the game that we know and love. And so that whole pursuit has been a great deal of fun. And the writing part of it, you know, as much as I enjoy the broadcasting and the daily radio show and the live coverage of the PGA Tour and all that stuff, the writing part of it is something that once it gets in your blood, it never leaves you.
No, you can't. You can't give it up. I understand, absolutely. Now, that's what I wanted to say. Most writers don't make good speakers. I don't mean that in any way derogatory. I just mean that there are a lot of writers who are very, very good at expressing themselves, but when it comes to talking, they don't have that, you know, it doesn't come out the way it does on the keyboard. You are an exception. You are an excellent speaker, obviously.
Well, I think the key for me was that when I first started to write, I tried to write the way that I thought other people wanted me to. And I know this is a common story. This doesn't really sound terribly unique, but it is what happened with me. And the same thing happened when I started to broadcast. When I first started doing PGA Tour events, I had a lot of people that were very eager to give me advice and to say, well, if you speak this way, you're going to sound more like the other guys. And you know, in my case, I would describe it's just the way I speak. I can't help it, but I would describe a par four, say it's a dog leg right, and I would say it cascades its way down the hill, and at the bottom there's a meandering brook to an elevated green complex that's protected by yawning hungry bunkers looking to seek the wayward shot. You know, and I would describe, that's the way I would describe it. I would speak metaphorically because that's the way I write.
Of course.
And I found very shortly, and again, this is wherein I don't think that, I think it's somewhat of a celebration of the obvious, but it is my story. I basically found out that trying to speak or write as anybody else other than who I am was a complete disaster. So I defaulted to say, you know what, I'm going to be who I am, I'm going to write the way I speak, and I'm going to speak the way I write, and I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. Well, now it's all worked out for the better. So, you know, that's, I guess if there's one more life lesson in that, it's that stick to who you are, stick to your guns, seek to improve yourself, and be wary of the advice that you receive along the way from other people who want to change you, because ultimately I don't think it works to change. You got to be who you are.
That was wonderful. I can just hear that. That's, you know, that's not quite the way we say it in this world. That's charming. Thank you so much. Now, in addition to the I think we spoke when you first brought out Fairways of Life, one with the foreword by Arnold Palmer, Wisdom and Inspiration from the Greatest Game. You've also got the Spirit of the Game, Golf's Greatest Stories, followed by this. Now, we can get autographed copies if we go to your website, fairwaysoflife.com, and we can order, and you'll sign it.
Yeah, the book's not actually out until next month, so I have, through the website, Fairways of Life, you can pick up Golf Wisdom of the Legends, pre-advance copies, which I'm happy to autograph to wherever you want to, and that's going pretty well, and that's starting to catch on. You know, nowadays, the funny thing is with publishing, and you have this, what I'm about to mention, but publishers sit back and go, well, you can be the greatest writer in the world, you can have the greatest story in the world, but we're not interested unless you have what they call, quote-unquote, a platform. So if you have a means to carry your message to the people that otherwise might be interested, then we're interested in you. And that's why you see so many books that come out from big celebrities right now, whether it's a Bill O'Reilly or what's the other fellow, Beck, that's the political columnist or political pundit. And then you have all these celebrities that put out their books and so forth. Well, that's because the publishers are saying these guys have a platform. And if you have a platform through your celebrity or through your broadcasting, whatever it is, then they'll be interested in you. So that's all part of the brand building as well with Fairways of Life, and that I said, you know, I've got the platform now, I've got the daily forum, I'm reaching a worldwide audience, you got to strike when the iron is hot, and from my standpoint, like we talked about, I'm going to write anyways, So we might as well put the two and two together, and that's what I did, and that's why the book came out when it did.
What was your most interesting interview, the person that interested you the most or said the most surprising thing?
I would think that the most compelling interview for me was with Charlie Sifford. And I have to say that, and I don't mean this to sound boastful, but I have to put it into proper perspective.
Okay.
I love Jack Nicklaus. I love Arnold Palmer. I've interviewed the Tiger Woods and Greg Normans. You name the player. I can't think of a player. I can't think of anybody that I haven't interviewed, and even Mr. Trevino Malta. I can't think of anybody that's out there today that at one time or another I haven't spoken to. But to have a chance to speak to Mr. Sifford, who at the time that we did the interview last year was 88 years old, and to speak to this man that blazed a trail that when he played in his first tournament and was leading, he received death threats at his hotel, telling him not to show up again. And he said, why not? And the guy said, because if you do, I'm going to kill you. And I said to Mr. Sifford, well, what did you do? He said, I did what I do. He said, I went out and I played golf. And I said to Mr. Sifford that the reputation you had was as a pretty serious golfer, that you really didn't smile a lot on the golf course. Why was that? And Mr. Sifford said to me, you wouldn't smile much in the golf course either if you were afraid that you might get killed. And so he actually had to go out and get court action in order to allow him to play on tour because they had specific provisions that were for Caucasians only.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about that, this man just simply wanted to do what he knew how to do, growing up as a caddy in the South, becoming a very competent player, eventually having to move from the area that he lived in because the players at the club that he formerly worked for carrying their bags were upset and jealous that this young African-American had become so proficient at the game and was frankly capable of beating them at the same
time. Mm-hmm.
And then he fought on until late, what would be considered late in a player's career now, and consider it back in 1960, he was already 40 years old, 41 years old by the time he was actually able to compete on tour, and then to win multiple times at that. He never got a chance to play at Augusta National because every time that it looked like he was getting close, for example, when he was leading the Canadian Open and there used to be an exemption for the Canadian Open winner into the Masters, in the middle of the tournament they came back and said they're no longer giving an exemption to the Canadian Open. And so when you look at his story, that's a story. They should do a movie about him. He was and is the Jackie Robinson of the sport of golf, and he did it because of his passion and love for the game and nothing. I asked him, I said, do you realize that you were a trailblazer? And he said, no. He said, I'm just a golfer.
Yeah, wonderful. Great talking with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a delight, Daniel. Look forward to it again.
Thank you. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window systems to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Here is your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Here's a shoulder and back exercise. Grip your club horizontally in front of you, chest high with your hands a little wider than your body. Keep your eyes fixed on the club as you raise your arms directly over your head. Remember to take in a deep breath and stretch gently. Repeat this exercise 5 times. This will help loosen your back muscles and increase your range of motion.
And that was your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker.
Now, back to the golf club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. This morning, I just wanted to give you a heads up on what's up with Tad Fujikawa. He's continuing his journey as a professional golfer, but he's moved over to the NGA Hooters Tour. He was over on the eGolf Tour. The Hooters Tour, which was, by the way, started by Hawaii's Jack Jordan in 1988, has a format that's very similar to the PGA Tour and the Nationwide Tours. A field of 168 and cuts to the low 65 and ties plus pro-ams are played too. Membership is like $2,000 and then it's $1,150 per pro series with a purse of $20,000. So it's a good tour for him to move over. And there's another big change for Tad Fujikawa. Ryan Perez has decided to caddy for him full-time instead of pursuing his own golf career. He was also on the eGolf Tour last year. So Ryan is on Tad's bag. Unfortunately, did not make the cut in the event this weekend, but it's going to be fun talking to Ryan about his decision to not pursue his golf career, but instead to pursue a career as a caddy. And I don't think caddies ever get enough credit for all the work they do in making a score, because it's not just the golfer out there. He gets a lot of help. And sometimes caddies get way too much blame, too, you know? We're waiting for Mike Perkey to check in with us, Global Golf Post. And Mike just inspired me when I was playing golf in Arizona. Oh, I don't know. Was it last year, February? Was it a year or two ago? Can't remember. Time travels. But he inspired me with his pre-shot routine, which was just amazing. If you haven't seen someone do a good pre-shot routine, it's difficult to describe it to you. When you see someone who's got a great pre-shot routine, it lives with you forever. And then you understand what you need to develop so that you, indeed, will be able to prepare for the shot ahead, whether it's off the tee or on the green. Stephen Zane made the most of his professional debut. He won the 14th Hilo Invitational Golf Tournament. He fired rounds of 68 and 70. He had a one-stroke lead over three-time champion Nick Mason, who almost, you know, he's done so well. Nick Mason had a tough time this year in Hawaii. Can't wait to talk to him about this. He was doing so well at the Pearl Open, right, when the rain came down and they wiped out the 60 scores that were already finished because it wasn't. So there was a cut to 36 holes. Nick ended up in second place, tied for second place at Pearl. And here he was also in second place over, but a three-time champ over in Hilo, so I guess it was his time. Also, UH Hilo Vulcan golfer Neil Cabico, who took low amateur honors at the last week event in Hilo. 2006 champ Jarrett Hamamoto finished in fourth. Professional Casey Nakama, yo Casey, he's bringing up all our junior golfers at Olamana. And amateurs Chris Igawa, Dalen Yamauchi, and Matt Ma, they tied for fifth at 141. Zane took home $5,000 from that $15,000 purse. Cabico got a $750 gift certificate because, of course, he's an amateur. Donnie Hopoi and Jarrett Flores came from behind, sealing their fourth annual HSGA four-ball golf tournament that was at Ted Makalena Golf Course. Total 11 under 131. Last year's champs of Ryan Kuroiwa and Jarrett Sawada came in second, 10 under par, 132. And Gino Schoen and Sky Inokoshi, Sky, congratulations, round out the top three. Sky started off as, like, I don't know, 7 years old in junior golf. Just, it's wonderful to see the progressions. The 53rd Mid-Pac Open is coming up at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. We'll be there on April 16th. Defending champ is Sam Sir. And this is something that you might want to put on your calendar, okay? This is a really great event that's coming up, and it's on Monday, the 21st of this month, the Aloha Section PGA 2011 Golf Industry Conference. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, goes until 1 o'clock. It's at Ko'olina. The speakers include Joe Steranka, the Executive Director of the PGA of America, David Avalos, the Executive VP and GM of TaylorMade Golf, Larry Gilhooley, Northwest Region Director of the USGA Green Service, and you know I love hearing him speak, Dave Marr, Golf Channel announcer, and Admiral Thomas Fargo, retired U.S. Navy. And I'm hoping that he's going to announce the rumor that's been going around that civilians may be able to play at the military golf courses. Wouldn't that be something? We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Course.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Here is your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Here's a shoulder and back exercise. Grip your club horizontally in front of you, chest high, with your hands a little wider than your body. Keep your eyes fixed on the club as you raise your arms directly over your head. Remember to take in a deep breath and stretch gently. Repeat this exercise 5 times. This will help loosen your back muscles and increase your range of motion.
And that was your golf club warm-up tip, brought to you by Moon Physical Therapy.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We've got some tee times for you. If you'd like to go play a round of golf, we'll have those for you in just a minute. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KHUI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. And just a couple of seconds, we'll be connecting with Mike Perkey. He had a very important appointment to go to this morning that was quite unexpected. Mike Davis, taking over as executive director of the U.S. Golf Association, and he doesn't have to give up his old job that he loved the most, setting up golf courses for the U.S. Open. I mean, he was actually once asked, you know, would he take on the position? And he said, no, I'm not really interested in moving out of what I already do. I really like what I do. So he gets to do both. On Wednesday, he was selected by the USGA, and it was sent out to all the members. I thought that was so kind that all of us members of the USGA were given a little email notice that Mr. Davis was replacing David Fay, who retired in December after 21 years in charge. I thought the way he said goodbye was just amazing. Mike Perkey, good afternoon.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. And I got to tell you that I've you know, remember when we played golf in Arizona?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How could I forget?
I have used the description of your pre-shot routine on this show more often than I can probably, at least 10 times. I say it's like choreography. Watching you in your pre-shot routine, somebody should be able to just like do a video of you, so that if somebody says, you need to develop a pre-shot routine. This is what I'm talking about. Because a lot of people don't understand it. Have you found that to be the case?
Well, you know, I've done it for so long that it's, you know, it's like breathing now. But I try to do it without delay and to play quickly and get out of my partner's way.
Yeah, but it's like all your motions are in perfect. They're exactly what you did on the last, on the green, let's take it to the green. So your motions are, I'm pretty sure I knew exactly what Mike was going to do. You're fabulous. Now, you're
right. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you're a great golfer and wonderful to watch. And I want to congratulate you for the recognition that you won the Golf Writers Association. Global Golf Post, of course, is where you're writing right now. And you were given one of the awards for the work Days at the Beach.
Yeah, thank you for that. We worked hard at that. For us to get a couple of second place finishes and an honorable mention and those awards in our first years is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
We were competing in the toughest category, I think. And So, yeah, we were real proud of that. Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about Days at the Beach, the U.S. Open comes to Pebble.
We went off the beaten path to do previews for all the major championships last year. And for the one at Pebble Beach, we chose, I don't know, 8 or 10 moments in the U.S. Opens and the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Ams, and had all of our staff people and our senior correspondents write 500 or 600-word essays on each of those moments in time. And, you know, we're real grateful to have the quality of writing talent that we have at Global Golf Post, and I was just happy to be a small part of it.
Yeah, your writing talent is, when I read this piece that you wrote about Marilyn Smith and the creation of the Founders Cup, it really touched me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, you have a way with words when you're expressing yourself that just, you know, it brings me right into the feeling. What are your thoughts on the creation of the Founders Cup, the event that has no purse?
I think it's a fabulous idea. The LPGA needs to be on the front of websites and sports pages, and I think this is just a brilliant idea. You know, the fact that some of the players are having second thoughts about it and they're having to tweak the system a bit to try to appease everyone is I don't know, kind of disturbing, but, you know, it looks like everybody's going to be happy now with the amount of money that's given to charity. But I thought it was a brilliant marketing move.
Okay.
And the idea of celebrating the founders, I think, is fabulous because, you know, we don't talk about the founders of the LPGA enough. You know, these were women that blazed a trail in their sport that nobody's done before since. The people who started the PGA Tour didn't have to do the things that the LPGA founders did, and I think this is long overdue.
Marilyn Smith is going to get to sit at the 18th green, right?
Yes.
As all the players are coming in.
These young girls need to know where their tour came from and why they're playing for the amount of money they're playing for.
Okay. This is something else. I'm going to get right in some people's face in the end. I may make some, I don't mean to make enemies. I just want to point out that it would be a good idea. Marilyn Smith, when she was on the show with me, she said that she would go to baseball games. And during a moment, they would go out in the infield and say, hi, we're here in your little town, and we're playing a tournament, and would you come out and watch us? So they have to actively promote, not just set up the course, not just...
Of course they did.
It's very difficult to get young women to do something like a golf show, unless you're talking to, a Mr. Rude for Golf Week, or a Mr. Cyrac for Golf Digest, or a Mike Perkey for Golf Post, Global Golf Post, right? I think they need to understand that with so few events being played now, they need to be, as you say, on the covers of the magazines. They need to get their faces out there.
And they need to be everywhere. They need to be on every radio show and every TV talk show that'll have them.
Yeah, and I find it very difficult to get through to the LPGA. I once talked to somebody there, and he said to me, so it doesn't matter who you're... I said, no. You know, I'm not... It doesn't matter if... I don't care if it's the top 10 person, number 1, 44, 60... They're all in as members of the LPGA, right? They're all playing on the tour. Let's get to know them. Let's get to know all of them. If it means having an interpreter on the line at the same time, what's the problem with that? I don't understand why the LPGA is so difficult to work with. And I've found that to be the case, and I just have to say that again. It's very difficult to get them to come on and do stuff, and I don't know why that is.
No, I agree. I don't understand it either. I think under the leadership of Mike Wine, I hope that changes over the next couple of years. In that respect, the women aren't that much different from the men. You know, the tour pros these days won't walk across the street unless there's something in it for them.
Now, that's really sad, given
it is.
The way things were in the 70s, you know, and the way things started, the small purse, and now they're making $900,000 if they win an event. And, you know, hello, I know you put a lot of work into it, but there's that $900,000 is coming from somewhere, someone's advertising budget. It seems like if you're going to start losing more and more events like the State Farm now leaving the LPGA, that's a huge blow.
That's a sad day for the LPGA.
Yeah, truly.
The State Farm leaves.
It is. And we need to... I also talked to a gentleman who said he was interested in sponsoring an event, an LPGA event. He gave them a call to find out what he needs to go through, what process he needs to go through, so that in the future, you know, it's not something he can do today, but maybe it's in 2 years from now. Just give him the cold shoulder. It just seems like the door should be open and not shut. This isn't a closed...
Absolutely.
Not a closed click. All right, now I'll get off my soapbox. I feel like I'm in Hyde Park right now. You have...
I know. Somebody's got to say it.
You have a beautiful article. I mean, I want to go there. Half Moon Bay at sunset. This is an absolutely stunning property. Pure Gold is the title. Mike, you did this. Did you stay there?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Lord.
It's a wonderful place.
I mean, you know, being a professional golfer, do they get to stay in places like this?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, on the PGA Tour, when you've made it that high up.
That's right, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. And then there's the, I read another article, I can't remember what, news, I think it was in, you know, if I don't mind saying Golf World, and it just cracked me up, because we always celebrate the young guys who've made it through Q school. You know, they got their tour card. Yes. And we're like, oh, yes, they got the tour card. The author said, Chris Millard, goes, it's more like a limited time coupon for one continental breakfast at the Hampton Inn, valid only after the other 143 guests have eaten. That's it, isn't it? I mean, getting your tour card means nothing. That's just going to Q school is just the beginning of a long run.
The guys that graduate from Q school and who graduate from the Nationwide Tour, especially, you know, farther down the list, are in for a rude awakening the next year when they try to get into tournaments on tour. You know, that especially, you know, when they come away from the West Coast. There are just very limited opportunities for those guys to play. And when they do play, they better play well, because they reshuffle the standings at the end of the West Coast, and that reshuffle determines who gets into events.
That just happened, right? The reshuffle.
Mm-hmm, it just happened.
So if you didn't do well in the first 6 weeks, okay, it's a little bit longer than that, but basically, you had to get in. You had to play well. You were under the gun constantly. You better have a pretty good pre-shot routine, huh?
No kidding.
Well, I must say, looking at Pure Gold, and I just want to go to San Francisco right now. And
it's a great town.
It is certainly a great town. What courses did you play? Which was your favorite?
My favorite is Paso Tiempo. I think Paso Tiempo is one of the world's best-kept secrets. It's just a wonderful golf course from the first tee to the last green. It's It's a par 70. It's only 6,600 yards.
Ah.
It's the longest 6,600 yards you'll ever play. And it's a wonderfully thought out golf course.
Wow. I was just talking to Barney Adams about how we should, make the distance between tee to green a little bit shorter for us humble folks who aren't that good at the game. When you said it was a shorter course, I was thinking, oh, there's hope for me, but apparently not.
I have a couple of sets of tees, Danielle. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Well, it certainly is a pleasure talking to you, and on this particular day, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on.
Talk to you again?
Yeah, absolutely. Any time for you.
All right. Thank you. Global Golf Post, Mike Perkey. Check it out. It is free. You know, all you need to do is enter your email address, and Global Golf Post will come straight to your inbox every Monday, and it's fabulous. It has these beautiful articles. It gets to be the size of your computer. It's on your iPad. It's wherever you want it to be. It's called globalgolfpost.com. And then all you got to do is put in your email address, and there you go. And they don't sell it. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Thanks so much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Aloha. I want to thank all the people for making the Golf Club radio show possible. And they are Alakai Mechanical. They are the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, sheet metal, and commercial kitchen design and fabrication, period. Excellent service. Expert knowledge, work, and product you can depend on. Alakai Mechanical. Star protection. Get the star team on your property. This is whether or not you're a shopping center, maybe you're a neighborhood, a private neighborhood, you need protection. Maybe you're a building. Star protection's for you. Or if you're putting on events, for instance, a concert, star protection. They're the people. Or maybe you would like to join the star team. Call star protection. Star protection's what you need. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 808-742-8711. They have special values for not just Kama'aina, the people who live in Hawaii, but also for the visitor. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 808-742-8711. It's Kauai's South Shore gem. It's open now after an 8-month greens replacement. Moon Physical Therapy. Go see Julie Moon. Doctor recommended, insurance approved. She achieves results with her staff, her facilities, the endless pool. It's excellent. I've been in it. Moon Physical Therapy. And you want to thank Julie for all of her wonderful warm-up tips. If you do those things before you go play, you know, not only a pre-shot routine is important, but also doing your warm-up tips. Get warmed up before you go out to play. Hawaii Golf News and Travel. Thank you to Norm Gunther. Norm is always there for us with Hawaii Golf News and Travel. His latest issue is out, all about Mid-Pac Open. That'll be held in April, and we'll be broadcasting from the Mid-Pacific Open on April 16th. Looking forward to it. Defending champ Sam Sir. Hawaii Golf News and Travel, as well as 808golf.com with all of your local scores. You can catch us at radiogolfclub.com or on iTunes under podcasts, or for your smartphone at Stitcher Radio. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.